The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players, uncover their stories, and discover what makes them tick. If you love guitar, music, and the backstory of people's lives, stick around. You're in the right place. Are you looking to buy or sell a home in the Tampa Bay area without having to deal with pushy realtors? Then make sure you connect with West Florida Real Estate. West Florida Real Estate has helped over 300 homeowners and investors buy and sell their properties over the last 5 years. Their service is outstanding, just like back in the days when there was actually service in the service business, and you'll never have to deal with any kind of sales junk when you're working with them. For more information, email Ann with an E at westfloridarealestate.com. That's A-N-N-E at westfloridarealestate.com. If you're enjoying this show and you'd like to support it, go to everyonelovesguitar.com/support. And for information on advertising, visit everyonelovesguitar.com/advertise. Hey, everybody, this is Craig Garber. Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, and we are with a return guest. We're with one of my favorite guitar players. We're with Paul Pagott. He's got a new record out called The Game. And just real quick about Paul, I interviewed him last year. And honestly, he's one of the two guitarists that that were new to me in 2018 that I met, who's what he does is really unique, and he's a really cool player. He plays in rockabilly. He plays acoustic. He's a beautiful player, man. So I would encourage you to check out that interview from last year. It's Paul Pagott, P-I-G-A-T, and you're going to love his music, and I'm glad to talk about his new album. Thanks so much for coming, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Paul is just – I got to tell you, just woke up just for me. In fact, I nudged him. No, I'm just kidding. last year, I will say one more thing. Something weird had happened to me that day, on our first interview, and I remember I had told Paul, and it was so funny, I literally couldn't look at him when we were recording, because I would have literally been in tears. I don't know why. It was just, and then he brings it up to me first thing when I talked to him.
That was funny stuff.
Oh my god! I will be revealing that soon on a video. Anyway, man, Paul's new record is called The Game. It's a beautiful record. What prompted you to put a record out in general, man? It's not easy, and certainly not profitable in many ways making a record.
No, well, I am of the age group that. Producing records is still, you know, kind of the only way you can do things. And this was a project I started 10 years ago, and I thought it was just time to put another installment in, because it's supposed to be a trilogy, and you don't want to do every installment every 10 years. That
you got to have a real dedicated marketplace. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to be really, they got to wait. They got to be very patient people.
So you just, and so that, and you were saying the next one hopefully will be out in another year or two.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I actually realized while I was recording this one that I was recording two records. I was recording two very different sounding records. So I split the difference, and so I have this one, and I have pretty much half of the next one. So.
Great, man. I'm definitely looking forward to it. You have some acoustic, some solo acoustic songs on here, and you have some electric songs. Man, I'm not blowing smoke, but your acoustic playing is really touching. It's really beautiful. And your notes, this is the thing that I admire so most about your playing. Your notes are so clean and so clear, like every one of them. It's just, you know, it's really unique what you do. What guitar are you playing on that? Is it the same guitar the whole time?
I think I used about four guitars. I used my main guitar, which is a Guild M20 from probably about 1964. I used a Warren Murphitt guitar that we designed together, which is like a Jumbo Triple O, or sorry, Jumbo L00. And then I used a real 32 Gibson L00 and about a 62 J45. And it's sort of an amalgamation of those guitars, that whole record. But I think probably the majority of the record was on my M20. I've had that guitar for years. I bought it in a music store for $100 because it was missing its back.
Oh, wow. And yeah, you do a lot of work on guitars on your social media post. Are you still working on guitars a lot?
Yeah, I'm doing more and more. Like whenever I have any time off, I'm in Warren's shop with him. And, I've always built guitars since I was a kid, but I was pretty terrible at it. And I never had access to a great shop with all the tools. So now Warren and I have become quite good friends. And I go over there and I bring these basket cases over there and I restore them. And when I find I paint myself into a corner, Warren bails me out.
am I smelling a backup plan B, Pagot guitars?
Pagot guitars. If you had asked me when I was a teenager what I wanted to do, I would have told you I wanted to build guitars.
But hey, man, who better than you to build a good quality acoustic guitar? Seriously.
I think there might be less money in guitar building than there is in playing music.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, but it is possible.
You know, it's funny. When I first started the show, I had like two guys on who build guitars, and almost verbatim, they said the same thing. They said, look, don't go into this business if you want to make any money.
There's literally no money in it. Like Warren and I have designed a bunch of guitars together, and I put these guitars against anything out there, and it's not easy to unload them, there are so many great luthiers out there right now.
There are.
Like, it's really amazing. I'm playing the International Luthier Show, the Vancouver International Guitar Show, in another couple of weeks, and I'm one of the demonstrators for a bunch of luthiers that are going to be there. And you can just see what people are doing out there. Like, it's incredible the workmanship that people are able to achieve. It used to be a very small niche market. When the big names, like the Larrabees came out, and the Gurians and all those, that first generation of guitar builders. But now there's so many of them that it's hard to be heard over the din.
Yeah. Okay. So, it was cool to hear you sing. It was really funny because when you know someone and you don't know them in that context and then you hear them sing, it's really weird. You're like, if you heard me sing on a record, you'd be like, what the, right? It'd be very weird. Yeah. You'd be like, what the hell? But
I had no idea that Craig Garber sounded like Johnny James Dio. I had no idea.
Right, right. But see, that is not what you'd say. You'd say like, man, Craig really should stay in his lane. But with you, you have a really nice voice, man. It was really cool to hear you sing. It's very soulful. And it sort of made me look at you in a different way as far as like, your expressiveness vocally, I knew it on the guitar, but vocally it was really different to hear, to hear that, man. It was very cool.
Thanks, man. Well, I became a singer out of necessity, not out of any desire to become a singer. It was just the only way I could really get things going when I wanted to get things going. I've grown to love singing.
Man, you do a great job. You really do. The thing is, your singing fits what you're playing, which is really nice.
That's good.
Yeah, really nice. So yeah, 10 tracks. You have a cover on there, Ring of Fire, which is done really well. Are there any other covers on there?
Yeah, there's two other covers. I did a cover of a friend of mine's song called Heartland, which
that's
is
a great song, man.
Yeah. It's one of the best murder ballads I've ever heard. Yeah. And his name is Tola McNeil. He lives in Victoria. I think he's down in San Francisco right now. He's just an incredible musician. And he was roofing. We were all living in a house at one time. And he was doing his day job roofing. And he was driving home from the Heartland dump. And he wrote that song on a napkin on the way home.
That is so cool. Truck. I was wondering because it was spelled, usually you see Heartland, it's H, like the Heartland. I knew it had to be something. Okay, thank you that's cool, man.
It's the Heartland Dump on Vancouver Island. Yeah, that's awesome. Just a great little number. And I've been playing that song for years. And every time I talk to Tolan, I don't see him nearly as much as I used to, but I always ask him if he's recorded the song yet, and he hasn't. Like, but that song's been written for almost 20 years now. And I finally just said, forget it. I'm recording that song.
That's awesome. You know, there's actually a bunch of songs written about the Heartland Dump. No, I have no fucking
that would
idea.
Be awesome because, you know, it's really an exciting place. You never know what you're going to find there. And possibly a bear.
I have no idea. I don't even know where it is. And what's the other cover?
Is Will Kimbrough's Piece of Work.
Will Kimbrough is coming on my show in Will Kimbrough from Nashville. From Nashville.
Yeah,
Will's awesome. He's coming on here like in a week or two, something like that. Awesome. That's so funny, man.
So good. He is such a monster musician.
And which song is it?
I met him. It's a Piece of Work.
Yeah, the fourth song. Very cool.
Yeah, which I met him. I've only met him once. I met him at the Pagosa Springs, I think it was the Four Corners Festival. Years ago.
Say hello.
And I was just completely blown away by his performance, and that song stuck with me. And I contacted him years ago. I said, hey man, I want to cover your song. He said, that would be awesome. And I finally got around to it. And as I finished the recording, and I thought, I wonder if anybody else has covered this song. Because I never really did any research for that. And I found out that I'm kind of that Jimmy Buffett does that song too.
Very cool, man. Yeah, he's coming on. Actually, it's not as close. It's about 6 weeks, but I'll make sure I say hello to him. Yeah, he's
tell him I say hello. He probably doesn't remember me, but it was what a wonderful experience to see him play and to hear him. Man, he's such a great musician.
I think he's like won CMA awards or some awards for his songs.
He's
pretty prolific.
Yeah, he's upper echelon stuff.
That's so cool, man. It's such a small world, man. With guitars and musicians, I got goosebumps. Like Will Kimbrough, that is so cool. What made you do Ring of Fire, man? It's actually one of my top favorite songs on the album. You did a great, really cool cover of it.
Oh, thanks. Well, I wrote that arrangement the day that he died. Actually, I was playing a gig, and I'd found out that evening that he'd passed away, and as I was setting up for that night, I thought, well, I got to play something as a tribute. And I wrote that arrangement on stage.
That's really cool, man.
It's been in my repertoire for quite some time, as you can tell.
What electric were you playing on there?
On the, I'm playing an Echo 700.
Echo?
Like the Italian company.
Yep.
So it's an original 1962 Echo 700, which is, entirely covered in some kind of plasticky silver sparkle.
Interesting. I was curious, is that reverb on there or just tremolo or both?
Both. I'm playing my audio box, eight string lap steel with tremolo and reverb too, which is, it gives a lot of that haunting sound.
Very haunting, man. It's a great, great cover. I really enjoyed that. I played that several times, man. Any overall theme that you're trying to put forward for that record?
Well, the first one.
What was the first one called?
The first one's just called Boxcar Campfire.
Okay.
And they're all just basically, little vignettes, just little story vignettes about, life. And about, it depends on the tone of the record, depends on how I'm feeling. And the first one was really dark. This one's a little bit more comic. I wanted it to be a little lighter than the last one. I don't know what the next one's going to be.
Yeah.
And then once the third one's done, that's it for Boxcar. We're just doing three records on that theme. And then I don't know, maybe I'm going to, play polka. Maybe polka's my next.
I think so. I'm smelling it. Polka.
Yeah.
Where did you record that and how was it recorded?
I recorded it. I started it actually before I did the last Cousin Harley record, at the same studio at Heavy O'Sonic. And, I was in the middle of recording the record and then I shelved it to do the Merle Travis record. It's a very simple recording studio. Really not a lot. We're using a couple of ear trumpets and that's about it.
Did you have all the band in together at the same time or did you just lay down your tracks and they lay down their tracks?
That's all me.
That's the whole, everything is you.
Yeah, the only thing that's not me is Mark, and Mark is playing the percussion.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Oh no, I can't afford to have a band.
it's so nice being broke. You get to be such a better musician, writer, better musician, mixer, engineer.
I need a trumpet on this. Well, I guess I better learn how to play trumpet.
There you go. Go to YouTube. How to play trumpet.
There's got
to
be a lesson on it somewhere. It
has to be, man. That's great. Hey, tell people about, you mentioned Cousin Harley. Tell people about Cousin Harley, because someone doesn't know.
Cousin Harley's my main gig. Rockabilly, rock and roll, western swing trio. Going to Europe this summer.
And Paul, everybody knows Paul in Canada. I've talked to a bunch of guys since you and I talked, and a bunch of Canadian guys, and the first name,
because I owe them money.
You said that, not me. I was going to keep that quiet, man. You know, I'm very discreet. But they said, the first thing I say is, oh, yeah, I know I interviewed Paul Pagat, and everybody's like, that guy is such a badass, man. Like, everybody in Canada knows you. Maybe you owe them money, too, but, you know, they haven't mentioned that. But, yeah, man, everybody knows you. Any special guests on the record? Oh, so there was no special guests, just you. That's it?
No, man. Just Mark. Mark's my engineer, and he owns Heaviosonic, and he's a fantastic multi-instrumentalist and a great singer, and I've collaborated with him on a lot of records. Like, you know, he's recorded probably 5 of my records.
Okay, cool.
So I'm really used to working with him, and I know that, you know, if I need something, I just, you know, Mark is one of those guys that you go, he happens to have everything in the studio and he can play it all.
Man, that's the way to get on loads of records. You got to own this. When I talk to dudes that own a studio, they're like, oh, yeah, I played on 300 records. I'm like, well, how? I'm like, well, it's my studio. Everybody comes in. They needed a little piano, or the guitar needed – we needed to overdub a guitar line, and I happen to play guitar.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, man. Yeah, don't be a musician. Own a studio, and then you get to play on all the records. Even if you suck. I'm not saying anybody interviewed suck, but I'm just saying, you know, what are they going to do? Tell you no? No, I can't have you do this. Brody is really one of my favorite songs, but I can't help but think that I'd heard that before somewhere.
I did it. I've done that tune for a demonstration for the Gretsch Center Block Falcon.
That was what it was. That is such a beautiful song. What's the backstory to that, man?
I wrote it for a buddy of mine who passed away, John Brody, years ago. And, you know, just, he was kind of a sad soul. He was an awesomely fun guy. I possibly had some of the funnest times I've ever had in my life with John. But he wasn't destined to stick around too long. So, you know, I kind of was not overly surprised when he passed. And, I just wrote that tune for him because he was a pretty, pretty big deal for me.
Man, that is such a beautiful song. Every time I hear that, this is a great tune, man. Really good. I knew I had heard it before. How are you enjoying fatherhood? Last time we talked, your daughter was like a year and a half old. Now she's like 3.
She's 3 and a half. She's going to be 4 really soon. It's awesome. Like, the drag right now is that I am on the road a lot this year. It's not a drag because, you know, it's always great to be working, but you know, when you have a little 3 or 4 year old at home, this is, you know, this is a great time to be around them. Well, it's always a great time to be around them, but you know, 3 or 4 is kind of a magical time.
Great age. Yeah, they're innocent and they're starting to get interactive. So it's not like they're out of the sack of potatoes stage, you know? I mean, seriously, right? I mean, you know, they're like really cute. You know, they say really cool things and, you know.
And she's her own little person. She tells me about stuff. And I now know all the hierarchy of unicorns.
Which is important.
No, there was a hierarchy of unicorns.
Which is important, you know. That's really cool, like, man.
It's a feudal system, I think, the unicorns have.
And man, before you know it, she's at Bonnaroo. That's where my daughter is today.
That's right. Exactly.
At least she's called. She sent me pictures, and she knows I don't know any. She sent me a video of Fish. I guess she assumed that correctly. That was the only band I'd probably have any familiarity with. That was there.
Dad would hate all this stuff, but that guy's playing guitar.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know any of that stuff there. We're not musically compatible, but I thought it was kind of her to do that. So, man, people, everybody listening, check out Paul's new record. It's called The Game. If you still buy CDs, buy it at CD Baby. That'd be the best place to support Paul and his music. You could stream it wherever, because Paul will make a boatload of money wherever you stream it, so he doesn't care.
It's
where.
Incredible. It's
yeah.
They deliver it. With a wheelbarrow. They deliver it in a wheelbarrow. They dump this, you know.
And he's got so much of it, he takes it over to the Heartland dump, the extra.
I do. I'm making a creation out of all the melted down copper.
Dude, who's better than you? Also, a couple other things. Paul's getting ready to tour Europe, so go to his website. It's paulpigat.com. Paul Pigat. He is Canadian. Even though still, he's a really good guy. You should definitely check out his music. Check out Cousin Harley. Everything he does is great, man. He's an amazing player. I love his music. And I told him this, and I'll say this publicly on the show. Last year, there were two new people that I got turned on to, whose music that I was just like, I was, these two are the top. Paul's one of them. And oddly enough, there's no one and two, but the other guy is Diego Garcia, who Paul introduced me to, who's kind of like the Latin version of Paul in a way, but playing wise, but he's amazing player. He does great stuff for the guitar, man. He's really on top of his game, and man, you have a lot of fun when you're playing. You can tell that. And that's really,
there's no reason to do this if you're not having a good time.
Yeah. But as a listener, that feels good. You could tell that when you're listening to music, you know, like you can tell that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good listening to you, 'cause I know you're having fun. And even like the emotional stuff, man, I know you're giving 110%, which is always awesome. Also, Paul, this is really serious, and Paul is available for lessons on Skype. He's booked over the summer because he's got too much going on, and like I said, he's getting ready to go to Europe. But if you want to connect with Paul, is there a contact tab on your website?
Yeah.
Go to paulpigat.com. If you're interested in this guy's just brilliant, man. Check out his playing. He's a guy you want to learn from. And go to his contact page. Again, he's going to be busy over the summer, but let him know. Intermediate and up only. Let him know what you're into and what you're looking to accomplish, or you know, maybe you're looking for overcome something, or learn how to improve your writing or your playing. But just let him know what you're looking to accomplish, and then he'll get back to you. And man, I think that's about anything I missed.
I think you nailed everything.
Yeah. Thank you,
except,
man.
Except for the stuff we talked about before.
I can't. I can't. I'll be literally a bowl of Jello. I can't go there. Oh my God. Listen, man, I really enjoy talking to you all the time. You're a great guy. You're an amazing player. I'm glad we got hooked up, and I look forward to the next album. I hope the European tour goes great, and I hope you can turn out to a whole bunch of new listeners. Everybody check out Paul Pigat, The Game, Boxcar Campfire, and all his Cousin Harley stuff. Cousin Harley stuff is great. He's like well known throughout Canada. He's one of the top rockabilly players in the whole country. And
there are five people that know me. You've spoken to four of them.
I've spoken to four of them. I actually even spoke to a stoner rock guy in the middle of I don't know where, but Canada, and he knew you. He goes,
really?
Paul Pigat, everybody knows that guy. Yeah. He's a stoner rock music. Ben he plays for a band called La Chinga, Ben Yardley. Great player.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that name.
Dude, you are deep in the streets in Canada, man.
Well, you know, that's one way to one way to do it.
Hang on, let me wrap this up. Everybody listen, yeah. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this interview, please share it on your social media channel. Support Paul's music, Paul Pigat. Check out The Game, Boxcar Campfire, and all the other good Cousin Harley stuff he has. Make sure you go to everyonelovesguitar.com. Sign up to get on our newsletter list so you and I can connect. And most important, remember that happiness is a choice, so choose wisely. Be nice, go play your guitar, and have fun. Till next time, peace and love, everybody. I'm out. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.